Good morning, friends. Ooh, I'm a little bit loud. We have a new soundboard, and it is a digital soundboard, and we are still, sometimes new toys are always fun, but sometimes they are challenging. And we are learning how to do a much better soundboard, but it's much more complex. So if you're watching online with us this morning, if you can give us feedback on how it sounds, we would really appreciate that. Just write a comment to us. And if the sound fluctuates or whatever, just let us know. If you can just chat on Facebook or even text us, that would be great. And we're making adjustments as we go along. So thank you. And you can, if in the sanctuary for some reason, and this sometimes happens at the 11 o'clock service where people can't hear me or something, you can just raise your hand and we'll know that either you're disagreeing with something that I'm saying or we need to change the sound. So, as we start our worship service this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. And I have to say, I love this time of year. It's starting to get a little bit cooler. So nice, so beautiful. And we have a number of things going on. One of them is that at the end of this month, we're going to be having a time after this service and after the 11 o'clock service for people to gather and have some food and eat. But you have to register for it because we need to know how much food. And we're going to kind of, after this service, we're going to kind of provide a little bit of a brunch. So you can either register online or there are some slips of paper in the back, in this back corner, or over in the hallway over here. Ken, our head usher, is holding some. If you want to sign up by paper the old-fashioned way, see Ken after worship. Otherwise, you can get online and sign up. We'd love to have you, but it would be really helpful if we had the number, so please sign up for that ahead of time. We're also going to be having, at the end of this month, our trunk or treat, which will be on Sunday at 2 p.m. to be able to celebrate and bless our neighborhood and the kids in the area. Pastor Matt's going to be having an event that day as well with music and celebrating, so look forward to that. Look forward on your calendar. And if you're interested in events and are not getting emails from the church, you can ask the office, call the office. We'll put you on our e-newsletter list and get that out for you as well. We want to thank you so much for your giving and your support. We sent out a letter to let you know how we're doing this year, and we appreciate the ways in which you've been helping us with that. So thank you very much. Today we're going to be talking about the third chapter of Jonah. I have to tell you, it is one of the most cool and challenging sermons I've preached in a long time, so I'm very excited about that. Would you please join with me in a word of prayer as we begin our worship service and the praise band leads us forward? Father, thank you. Thank you for being present with us, and thank you for allowing us to gather. Thank you for the people in this room. We, as a group, have no idea what it took for the people that are assembled here to get here. At all different stages of our life, in different places, people of different backgrounds, and even just temporarily saying, today I'm going to drop in and worship. People online worshiping with us, that all of a sudden just decided to say, I want to be a part today. Help us to worship you and help us to take away something that really challenges us, blesses us, and moves us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Can we stand and let's worship together? As Pastor Andrew already stated, we're dealing with a new soundboard. So today, we were getting set up and didn't have much time to go through everything. So I can also say, I don't know what's going to happen this morning. which is going to require each of us. Hey, we're going to enter our own little realms of worship today. And whatever God does this morning, we're going to give him glory. We're still going to give him praise. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Here we go. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're searching for. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one. Come on, could you clap your hands this morning? Clap your hands, for God so loved the world, yeah. Whoa, whoa, yeah. I love this verse, I love this verse. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. See his open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Oh,
praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Y'all sound good. Praise him, praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, oh,
from whom all blessings flow. For God so loved
the world that he gave
his one and only Son,
Son to save us.
Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell,
the power of hell
forever defeated. Now it is what I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Oh, God so loved the world. Ooh, we give you praise, Lord. You so love the world.
Because of that sacrifice, God, we have nothing to fear. We're so grateful. I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the still inside the storm. The promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word. Enough to seek your kingdom first. Beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean way. When I walk through the waters, I won't be over.
I will not be drowned. My God will make a way. So I am not afraid when I am in the fire. I will not feel the flame. I'll stand before the giant, declaring victory. My God will make a way. So I am not afraid. Before me, behind me, always beside me. No shadow, no valley where you won't find me. No, I am not afraid.
One more time, say.
Before me, behind me, always beside me. No shadow, no valley where you won't find me. No, I am not afraid. No, I am not afraid. When I walk through the water, I won't be overcome. When I go through the river, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. When I go through the fire, I will not feel the flame. I'll stand before that giant, declaring victory. My God will make a way, so I am not.
Dear God, thank you for giving us such special and awesome ways to help and serve those around us. Please help us use them this week in the way you want us to. And please help us reflect the special way you've made us. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I don't know why it's always special to me when our kids lead us in prayer. There's something about their voices, and I want to thank Pastor Kathy for making that happen for us. We are in the middle of a series on the book of Jonah called Beyond Our Own. And in the first week, we looked at the issue of how God called Jonah to go on a missionary journey. And we said that this was beyond Jonah's own story, that God called him out of his living room, out of the life that he was in, out of his Monday to Friday, everyday stuff, and said, I need you to do something for me. And he interrupted what was happening in his own life and said, I need you to go on my behalf. And Jonah said, no, but God was interrupting his story. Last week, we looked at how God was moving beyond Jonah's circle. Jonah got on a boat to leave, to flee away from Nineveh to Tarshish, and God sent a storm to come, and in the middle of that storm, Jonah had a decision to make, and that was, would he die with all of the people on the ship, or would he confess that he was running away from God? Would he confess that he was not doing what God had asked? Would he allow the sailors to throw him overboard and save the people on the ship, people outside of his circle, people who he had never met? And he was faced with a choice. Would he allow them to die, even though he didn't know them or care about them? Or would he allow them to live and confess that he was not doing what God had asked him to do? And we concluded last week by saying that Jesus told us that we don't get any extra points for loving the people who love us. Jesus said even the pagans do that. Worse, he said, even the tax collectors. He said, what I'm asking you to do is love your enemies. That's what I'm asking you to do. And today we're going to look at this really challenging aspect of the story. It's really at the heart of this story, and that is that Jonah is called beyond his own culture. You and I, as human beings, tend to naturally organize in people groups. We just do. Starting early on, we find people that like stuff that we like or that look like us, and we tend to hug together. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just what we do. So there are groups, and there have been groups in high school forever. There are the jocks. There have been jocks forever. There are the nerds. There have been nerds forever. Lots and lots of affinity groups. And not just those groups, but increasingly we're understanding that there are groups who are grouping together by culture or background or race. There are people who group themselves together by really small interests. And the internet has allowed people that are dispersed all over the world to gather together in these groups in ways that they might not have been able to do before. So there are giant groups of people on the internet who get together just to talk about My Little Pony. There are groups on the internet who will get offended if you call Star Wars Star Trek or Star Trek Star Wars. And they are two different groups of nerds. They are not the same nerd. And this pull inside of us is so strong that it causes us to act in particular ways. And the story addresses this deeply. Jonah was Jewish. His tribe, as he saw it in his head, was the Jewish people. And they had a story and a background and a culture that had developed around that story and background. It went all the way back to Abraham and ultimately to the creation of the earth. And in Genesis chapter 12, God began a group of people that he called together to do something very particular. And Jonah, as a prophet, probably knew this and understood it. In Genesis chapter 12, do we have that scripture? Perfect. In Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham to be the father of the Jewish nation, which is ultimately where Jonah is. And he says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. See if I can get it to go. Who treat you with contempt. And here's the last part. And all the families on the earth. Every group, every tribe, every people group will be blessed through you. I am trying to set you up as a people that I can use to, I want you to be the people of God, and I want my people to be the people that blesses every other family, group, tribe on earth. Genesis chapter 12. If you can black screen that for me. Fast forward, as the nation of Israel develops and grows, they begin to find themselves bullied significantly. Were any of you ever bullied? So for a significant part of their history, there were some people groups in the area, specifically the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, a lot of ites, who would come and raid, who would come and bully, who would come and battle them again and again and again and again. And after a while, when your neighbors come and beat you up and you go and beat them up, you develop a sense of, here's us, and there's them, and they're constantly trying to hurt us. So it has become us versus them. And as the nation of Israel developed, more and more and more, that became their mentality. And under King David, finally, they had gotten big enough and strong enough that they were able to settle a lot of that, and there was, for a period of time, in about 950 BCE, a period of relative peace. But some of you who know your Bible history know that Not long after that, David's son was Solomon. Solomon had several sons who ended up splitting the nation of Israel into two, northern and southern Israel. And the fighting with other nations began again. And not only were they fighting with the nations right around them, but suddenly the big dogs came in. The world superpowers came in. And they started knocking at the door of everybody in the region. And they came in with a really big stick. And if Israel thought they'd been bullied before, they didn't know what it was like to be bullied. And it's in that context that the book of Jonah is written. This rise that happens. And Jonah, according to 2 Kings, was actually a prophet serving King Jeroboam in the year 770 to 750 BC. And so in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, when it says, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it. I have seen how wicked its people are." That's how we started this story. When that announcement came, we didn't talk about the significance of it because you weren't ready to yet hear the significance of what that verse meant. Let me tell you what it means. Verse 1 of Jonah, chapter 1. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah." Jonah in Hebrew actually means dove. Now, what do you think dove might represent? Anybody want to take a shot? Yes, not just peace but life. As a matter of fact, in the first century when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down on him and descended upon him like a, yes, peace and life. So God sent Jonah, the dove, the son of Amittai. Do you know what Amittai means? I bet nobody knows what Amittai means. Truth. God sent a dove from the son of truth to the Ninevites. Now, another piece that I wouldn't expect you to know. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. And Assyria was one of those big dogs that we just talked about. One of those superpowers. And this book was written to the time period of 770 to 750 BC. And in 740 BC, the Assyrians, this group of people, began conquering the northern kingdom, which is where Jonah was from. And in 733 BC, the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians. So God, 20 to 40 years before a nation was coming to conquer him, sent a dove from the father named Truth to send that nation a message. Can you imagine that Jonah might not want to go? Can you think of some reasons why Jonah might not want to go? Can you understand that Jonah might have sensed some coming tension between the Assyrians and his nation? That Jonah might have felt like things were not going to go well, that if he went to that nation, he might not be received with a bottle of champagne and a vase of roses? That they might kill him on sight? Can you imagine that Jonah might say to himself, "These people don't like us. These people are showing that they might become hostile toward us. God, I don't want to go and tell them what you're saying." And we learn in the next chapter why. Because Jonah suspects that if they repent, if they change their ways, that God might be merciful to them. And Jonah might have decided that if, in fact, he didn't go, God might just pour his wrath out upon them, and problem solved. Have you ever wanted somebody in your life to find the wrath of God because of the way they treated you? And Jonah, to my understanding, is one of the only prophets, at least a very small number, who was ever called to go outside the nation of Israel and speak to another culture, another race, another people. And so here we are in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah has been processed through the fish factory. He has been spit up on the beach. He has not properly been dressed, showered, shaved, or prepared to be a proper evangelist. He does not look like Billy Graham. And here's what Jonah chapter 3 says. Would you begin it for me? And then I'll carry it through. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I've given you. Not the message you want to give. Anybody be tempted once you got there to fudge a little? This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Did he preach more than that? I don't know. Where did he come up with the 40 days? I don't know. I can only trust that we have abbreviated conversations in Scripture describing what actually happened between God and Jonah. Is 40 an important biblical number? Yes. That the possible symbolism? Yeah. The surprise, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. This was not their God. We're never told what they were doing that was evil or wicked. Here's what we do know. The Canaanites, which were neighbors to the Israelites, were sacrificing their own children to their God. They were involved in pagan temple sexual practices. They had all kinds of things going on. Is this why God wanted a message sent? I don't know the answer to that question. We are never told. We know what we know, and this is what we know. And it says, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, this wasn't, you know, a small thing. He stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes, dressed himself in burlap, and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent out a decree through the city. No one, not even the animals from their herds and flocks, may eat or drink of anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must, he says, turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they'd put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. There are so many lessons from this. One thing that Jonah was trying to say that the Israelites were not sure of was that God was a player on the world stage. See, all these nations believe that this thought, if we're bigger and badder than everyone else, our God is bigger and badder than everyone else. God is also trying to say to us that he's bigger than our enemies, even our bullies. That God cares for people even when they're ugly. That God calls everyone to repent. God is saying all those things. But here's what God was telling Jonah. And what I told you from the beginning was that this book was about Jonah. God was telling him that he was to deliver God's message, not his own. And there are times in life when we so want to believe what we believe more than what we want to believe what God believes. And we want to believe that what we believe is true and it needs to be true for us and everyone else, whether God believes it or not. And that's where we get in our own world. And we deceive ourselves. God wanted to push Jonah to help him to understand, and we're going to see this next week, in clear, clear colors. Jonah didn't care about the people he was talking to. A bit. He and his nation had gotten to such a place of being pushed around and battered that his heart had hardened and he didn't care about people outside of his own circle anymore. And the book of Jonah has a hard ending for us because of that. Why should he care for people outside his own culture, much less people who were hurting others and ultimately would hurt his own people? But God had said in Genesis chapter 12, I have set you apart for a purpose, and your purpose is to bless all the families of the earth. And he didn't just say that to them. He was telling that to all his children. I am asking you to be as a mark of my children, what it means to be my children. I'm asking you to care for all the families of the earth. Jesus in John said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And he didn't stop there. He said, as I have loved you, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. In the year 2000, my wife and I had one of the greatest privileges of our life. We didn't even know it at the time that it was going to be one of the greatest privileges of our life. Through a God-ordained series of circumstances, we ended up a couple that had been married for quite some time but did not have children with a 17-year-old daughter. Our first foray into parenting was not with a baby. It was with a 17-year-old. She was from Ghana. Her father had come over to study in a program. I was in that same program with him, and he had to go back to Ghana. And his daughter said, I want to graduate next year. If I go back to Ghana, I will have 2 more years, and then I might be able to graduate. But if I stay here in the States, I can graduate, I can go to college, I can get ahead. And so they began asking folks in the program if somebody would be willing to keep her for a year. And so we said, yes. And what a year. I came down from the upstairs one afternoon, And I said, what is cooking in the kitchen? It smells amazing. And it was pig's feet. Can I get an amen? There had never been pig's feet cooking in our kitchen before. We were introduced to so many amazing things. And what was even more funny was that she, as a 17-year-old, knew American culture better than we were. And this sounds like old news, but she introduced us to Big Brother. Do you remember Big Brother? The television show on MTV? She had to watch Big Brother every week. Today, Jolene is a wife and mother and a nurse. And we got the privilege of sharing 1 year in her story. I got the privilege of teaching her to drive. That was when my gray hair started. And the ability to reach outside our own culture. I was told that I was helping her. What I discovered was that God was opening up my world. See, God's vision for his people, he would push us to care for every family on this earth. Beyond our own culture, beyond our own groups, beyond our own tribes, beyond jocks and nerds, and Star Trek and Star Wars, and everything else. And it wasn't just so that we could bless others. It was also to open us up to the wonders of what God has created in and around us, in the people and the cultures of this world. This is just me, but I happen to believe this is God's vision for heaven. Because the scripture says, people of every tribe and nation and tongue will gather. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue will gather. And that we will, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And the challenge of Jonah is, will he step outside of his culture? Even though it's uncomfortable, even though it's hard, even though he had been and would be mistreated, and would he bring the love of God? The message of God, the hope of God. Would he be and act like a child of God? This book was written a long time ago. I want to pause and ask if you think it's still relevant today. Does this still have something to say to us in America in 2021? Would you pray with me? God, we want to thank you so much for the beautiful world that you've created, for the different peoples and languages and cultures, and for your vision call us beyond our own story, our own circle, our own culture, to bless all the families of the earth. May they know we are disciples because of our love for you and our love for others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We stand together.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal this joy I own, when brokenness is pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Pain no longer has a place to hide, and I am not a captive to the lie. I am afraid to leave my past behind. No, I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. Oh, oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, there's resurrection power that can save. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. Oh, there's resurrection power that can save. Oh, there's power that can empty out a grave. Oh, there's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Come on, can we sing it one more time? Let's declare it all together.
Oh, my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Father, as we go, there are some things that we need to bring before you and say, I am sorry. Some places you want to grow us and move us and push us that will bless others. Help us to be a people today, this week, that others might say, I wonder if they're a Jesus follower because they loved in unexpected ways. go. In the name of the one who would send a dove from a father of truth. Amen.
My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. As you go, let's sing this one more time. Doesn't stand a chance when
I stand in your love.
Oh, my fear
doesn't stand a chance
when I